Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. And I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are, team, our council. Ooh, in aviation, there's a term called the time of useful consciousness. And what it refers to is when the oxygen cuts off, but you're still awake, right? So it's like, ooh, all right. So we know it's dire now, and yet it is May Day, it is Beltane, it is the reuniting of May Day International Workers, WOOF, right, and Beltane, one of the four cross-quarter holidays. They are reunited labor movement and participatory animism rewoven around the maypole. And everything's connected, right? So it turns out that Oliver Cromwell's brother in charge of Ireland sold thousands of pagan Irish women and babies into slavery into the Caribbean, but they took with them the maypole, and that wends its way into Voodoon and Celtic magic and the brewing of Celtic magic and Voodoon. So rewoven around the maypole, we're convening our council of all beings and our alliance with flora, fauna, fungi. Whoa. Yeah. So May Day, International Workers' Day, 1884, is Chicago establishing the 8-hour workday. 1886, the general strike, and then the Haymarket Square massacre. But from that emerges as International Workers' Day. Oh, all right. And Beltane, one of the four cross-quarter holidays called the Four Gates of Power. It's Halloween, Candlemas, Beltane, and Lammas. So true Beltane will be May 5th, and we have a lot before then, but it's this whole season of Beltane. So the four cross-quarter holidays were where power was especially eager to be invited in. And in this Taurus realm, it says, however we rearrange the manifest world, the visible manifest world, it changes the invisible atmosphere. So yeah, so anything we put on our altar becomes an invitation for power to come on into the world. And it reminds us, if we don't know what to do, invite in what does. Invite in what does. I always love Noor Hall saying, deliberate celebration of the change of seasons stirs the creative powers of the psyche. They go, ooh. So true Beltane will be May 5th, exact mid-season, and it's where trickster flora, fauna, fungi genius is invited into incarnational sensuality. The glyph for Taurus, the little circle with the horns, we think of it as the bull, but it's not the bull. It's clear from cave paintings and whatnot that it's the womb and the fallopian tombs. Why be born? Why create? Why does creation create? And it answers for reciprocal blessing, for incarnational collaborative kinship. We go, oh. And just something to put in here, in reading about Pope Francis, and he had a years of exile, 1990 to 92, that he didn't talk about much, but he then wrote an essay about it. But it informed him, and he said to all of us, you know, live the dark night, live your exile. And Francis told a politician who'd been voted out of office, you have to live your exile and you will come back kinder and more merciful and be prepared to serve your people. So let us see this May Day Beltane season, all of us returning from our customized exile to dance around the maypole together. And the essay about Francis said, the man who emerged was not as authoritarian. He's much more consulting with other people. He's much more willing to listen to other people and to compromise. So they said they noticed a discernible change when he emerges from exile. He's in some ways freer, but also much more chill about living with other people and being in community with other people. Yeah, what everybody says is that he was grumpy. He didn't smile, and he was very dedicated, but also very righteous. He's like, all Jesuits, we must serve the poor, quit reading books, enter the fields, start gardening. You know, he went very Mao. And they were like, we like reading books. You go away for 2 years. And it said that people didn't want to go to confession to him because he was so grumpy, right? But he worked his exile as Nelson Mandela does, as so many do, and may we as well. He worked it, you know, and so when he emerged, you know, and then also became Pope, he said for some reason in his exile, he read the the 8 volumes of the history of the popes. He's like, I don't know why I read that, but it was my dharma speaking to me. And when he emerges and when he becomes pope, then he smiles, he laughs, he loves dogs, he loves babies, you know, all of that. So the exile realm, I think, is pertinent to us all. And like Francis, you know, we all got to dedicate to being our best selves. Everything comes from that. It's like, you know, what should we do? It's like it's come to this at last, team. We now have to do what we want to do, and we now have to be what we want to be. So there we are, and we're off. So it is Beltane and May Day, and we have a feast of many things before us, all of which are dedicated, again, to invite power into the world, to animate the desirable. So we dedicate to Kilmar Abrejo Garcia, born July 26, same day as KPFK, and all the Kilmars, and liberating and protecting Andre Jose Hernandez Romero, the gentle makeup artist who has not been heard from for 43 days. Oh my. And so we have this splendid song from Solomon Burke. You know, every word, and let's feel every word being dedicated. None of us is free, one of us in chains. Here we go.
Well, you better listen, my sisters and brothers, because if you do, there are voices still calling across the years. And they're all crying across the ocean. And they're crying across the land. And they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. In darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other, let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free, one of us are chained, none of us are free. Now I swear, you salvation isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We've got to join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering know that we're not alone. Oh, none of us are free. None of us are free, y'all. Oh. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. Cause the world is getting smaller each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time to start making changes. And it's time for us all to realize that the truth is shining bright right before our eyes. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free. Oh, none of us are free.
None of us are free.
My, no.
None of us are free. One of us is chained. One of us are free.
None of
None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
Whoa, every word, fellow teammates, fellow visionary activists, fellow aspirants to be agents of liberating trickster in the world. Yeah, every word of that song is so profound because we're all in this dream together. So just as he says, and all of the cruelty that we see, you know, many of people have heard, and may there be more, you know, Marissa and her three daughters in Oklahoma City who had just moved into a new house 2 weeks before when agents, but we don't know which ones, they're not, everybody says not us, you know, tore apart every square inch of her house and what few belongings they had, seizing their phones, their laptops, and their life savings in cash as evidence. Marissa said, I told them before they left, I said, you took my phone. We have no money. I just moved here. You know, my husband's coming down in 2 weeks. I have to feed my children. I'm going to need gas money. I need to be able to get around. Like, how do you just leave me like this, like an abandoned dog? And before they left, Marissa said, one of the agents made a comment saying, I know, one of them said, I know it was a little rough this morning. Right. They took the furniture. They took they trashed everything. Okay. It was so denigrating that you do all of this to a family, to women, to your fellow citizens. They're citizens. They're citizens. The warrant was for people who had lived there previously, but they didn't check. You know, so that you do all this to a family, to women, your fellow citizens. And it was a little rough. You literally traumatized me and my daughters for life. We're going to have to go get help or get over this somehow, right? They made them go outside in the rain without being able to get dressed. Her daughter was in underwear. You know, anyway, there's that. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot we want to put on the table because we got to know everything. We got to see everything. And that sense of we're all in this thing together. We will not let people get cast into the cauldron of oblivion. Whoa. Right. And then we know the woman, oh, God, it's very moving. The woman in Miami, right, who went for her immigration check-in, and she was married to a U.S. citizen. They'd spent $40,000 on in vitro fertilization. They had a beautiful baby daughter who was still breastfeeding a year ago. And they snatched the baby from this woman and said, we're detaining you, you know, and the husband of the woman said, you know, you could hear her howling all the way to Cuba, you know, it's like, oh, God, you know, this, and she's in Cuba, you know, her breasts full of breast milk, right? Come on, team, you know, and it reminded me also, like, because we're all kin here, Beltane, you know, when, you know, odious SeaWorld, with their orcas, which are nothing's meant to be in chains, nothing's meant to be in prison, but they took the mama orca's baby away in a truck, and she was making these sounds all the way as the truck got further and further away, and it's like, oh, the grief and the yearning of mothers, this is Mother's Day, right? This is the time of sensual reverence for life, this time right now, this Beltane, this Taurus season, we go, oh. So we are reminded of the necessity for solidarity. And here's number two, Robert Reich.
Solidarity breeds courage. One of the reasons that so many people in this country are afraid right now. One of the reasons that so many international students are afraid to say what they think. One of the reasons that so many people are afraid that they might be even abducted and sent to a prison in El Salvador is because they feel a lack of solidarity. They feel that they are vulnerable. They feel that they and their liberties can be taken at any time. And they're right if there is no solidarity. If we are not protecting them, if we are not helping them, if we are not looking out for them. So I thank you for your courage. I ask you to help Berkeley and its administration do the right thing. I ask you to help international students understand that we have their backs. Because if anybody is intimidated, if anybody feels they cannot speak or learn or teach or do what they want to do in terms of their intellectual life, none of us is safe. The truth is not safe. And I will say this about the administration's abduction of people without any due process, without any trial, without any judge overseeing it. If somebody can be abducted in the United States and sent to a brutal prison in another land, none of us is safe. The next days and months and years will demand from all of us great courage and solidarity. Be prepared. Thank you.
Yay, thank you. Right. And so we're here in our council, our May Day Beltane Council, to summon all of the encouraging voices. Encourage, wonderful word, that which feeds our heart, that which feeds our heart. So we are agents of cool head, warm heart, opposite of road rage, which is hot head, cold heart, cool head. And just even right now, you know, in the spirit of Obatala and wise leadership and coolness, to imagine our heads as temperature cool, and all that heat moving down to our hearts. So we are agents of cool response entering hot situations. That's a crucial thing. And then all the voices. Sarah McBride on the steps of the Capitol said, if we summon our hope, then we will find the light and turn this moment into what a friend from Florida once called a slingshot moment, where we are pulled backwards, but the tension and pressure of being pulled backwards ultimately propels us to destinations that we have not yet been. We go, yes, we are open to that. And it's also when planets are retrograde, apparently backwards. I like this image for us all in keeping with the slingshot. You know, with one hand, we have a bow and arrow, so we hold the bow in one hand. And with the other hand, we're pulling the bowstring and the arrow of our own desire and our own intention and the desire for community good. We're pulling it back. And I like this metaphor because the bowstring and the arrow go, I don't know if we're making any progress. We seem to be going backwards. And the bow says, no, you'll really like this. Right now, to the degree to which we pull back with our dedication is the degree of forward efficient velocity movement. Futum, futum, futum. So it's terrifying, right? We know that Doge has been given the national parks and more all around that. And we go, oh, so terrifying. So let us become terraists. Let me spell it so that, you know, we're not, helicopters aren't hovering overhead. Terraist. Terra means earth in Latin. T-E-R-R-A-ist. Let us all be terraists in keeping with the participatory animism of this season of Taurus. And I love the sun in Taurus now, you know, headed to exact mid-season. And Taurus is the realm, again, of, you know, animism. I loved a friend or friend, client, colleague who was helping a kind neighbor who'd done rescue work for cats and important things. And she said, we were tweaking her house until it sang. And it's like, oh, that's great. So the micro and the macro, to tend things, to steward things, you know, to tweak our house until it sings. And because we're all, you know, reaching for anything that's ever been useful, let me bring up this useful thing from a book I read, 20 more years ago, The Initiate Brother. And it's a syncretized orient. It's about how to maintain tranquility of purpose when in the realm of evil, roiling, collapsing empire. So it's relevant. And there's a really worthy man, and he retreats from the conflict zone into his garden, and everything's off. It just feels off. He doesn't know who to trust. Things are going badly. People are being kidnapped. All of that, all that we see around us. And in his garden, everything feels off. You know how that is, right? Just, even the stream in his garden had lost its melodious voice. So he reaches into the stream and he picks up one small stone and he carefully replaces it. And the stream has its melodious voice restored and his mind clears and he sees who to trust, who not to trust, and how to save the world. So for all of us in our magic backpacks, you know, we go, sometimes just move one small stone, just change one small word, you know, and we, whoops, there we go. Sorry, messages from outer space are coming in. No, there we go. So, yeah, it's not any stone, right? It's our hands now. We're reanimating all of our skills, all of our participatory skills for intimacy. This is the realm of Taurus, the incarnational realm of Venus. So we reach in and we go, not any stone. And we ask it, which stone wants to be moved? And it's like, me over here. Yes, it's a partnership. And that's a lot to do right now, which is how we animate the world, right? Just even in small ways and large. Remember in Bali, Dayu Datu is the evil sorceress who through large and small things causes people to lose hope, right? There we go. She can be airplanes collapsing or the stuck drawer going, oh, no, just it's a, so. How do we animate the world? You know, like when we put something on a table and it falls off and we just insist on putting it back in the same place, even though it's going to fall off, we're animating the world oppositionally. And part of we'll honor Pluto stationing, gives us a giant cauldron. Pluto is stationing at 3+ Aquarius, which is restoring a lost condition of spirituality to the world. You know, but things at this powerful time, all the way now, you know, into this next week and into the full moon in Taurus that we'll address, you know, what on behalf of ourselves individually and collectively as a rogue species are we willing to toss into the cauldron? I like our addiction to having an enemy, you know, in all of the vulgar, well, let's use different words, you know, all the sneaky ways that has and how we animate the world. And it was a million years ago that Andy Weil and I, you know, used the term benign paranoia. What if the universe is a conspiracy for our benefit? And we go, oh, right. You know, Freud said that paranoia was the beginning of enlightenment because you're beginning to see in patterns. We can maybe throw that into the cauldron too as of temporary use, but into the cauldron. So Pluto now is stationing. A planet stationing means it appears to be standing still at one degree, at the same degree for a long time. In this case, it's 3 degrees of Aquarius. It's the moon Pluto conjunction directly overhead when Pope Francis died, exactly, precisely, restoring a lost condition of spirituality to the world. And we go, that's great. So when a planet stations, looks like it's standing still, and then Pluto will retrograde. But these are times to propitiate and cooperate. And a lot of what, I don't know, passes for astrology or whatnot out there, you know, is like, oh, Pluto's squaring Mars and, you know, opposing Pluto's opposing Mars and squaring the sun. And it's like, well, there's a description, right? And we're all describing like, but there's also a guiding. So to guide us into that, Mars is in Leo now at a beautiful degree. The constellations of the night sky glow blazingly in the desert, the endless unfolding wonder of creation. Go, right. It squares the sun, meaning all creativity, not celebrity stuff, but all creativity for the earth. And it is opposite Pluto, how we gather and how we do ceremony with the earth and for the earth is crucial. And our Mars, I'll say it and translate it, Mars quintiles Uranus. Oh, how fortunate we're being, the opportunities generously proffered to us. Uranus overhead, trickster, genius in Taurus still. And it's the quintile is irresistible eloquence. And it's so wonderful. It's available to anybody who raises their hand and goes, I'd like that irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love in the earth. And we go to everything, the deer, the flowers, the whatever, and say, it's a deal. If you tell me your story, I will tell it for you. And the irresistible eloquence of Mars to Uranus says, we don't have to convince anybody. And this is part of our strategy. We hold a true vision. And it becomes like a tuning fork in the collective group mind. So we don't have to convince people. They go, oh, since I heard that, since that hummed my heart, I see that now. Right. So it's a long lasting influence, right, as opposed to a short term impact. Right. That's part of our language crafting. Right. The use of the word impact everywhere. And we say, really, do you want a short, violent encounter? Boom. Which has some, you know, if your heart is stopped, you want to get it going. But a long, curvy influence. Yeah, there we go. So the quintile is that. And then, as my great ally Sylvia says, the quintile is that, Caroline, but it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. We go, now we're talking. And if it's not true, let's make it true. And Beltane is this opening of portals between worlds. And then we're going to come back to the stationing exactly on May 4th. There's many important things going on that day. It's a powerful day of propitiation. It's a powerful day for mission. But we're on our way to the full moon, the full moon Scorpio Taurus, which is called the Buddha's full moon, when the Buddha was born, when the Buddha attains enlightenment with his back against the Bodhi tree, because nobody gets enlightened without trees on this planet. And it's the opening of portals between the backstage invisible, you know, sizzly world, and the on stage incarnationally actual world. So all around now, you know, potencies are eager to be invited in by prayer, by poetry, by dedication, by the arrangement of objects, however we want to do that. We go, yes. And as we become Terraists, well, let me come back to Pluto stationing exactly on Sunday, May 4th. There's a lot going on Sunday, May 4th. And if you're near Burbank, in Burbank, there's a gathering, End Avelo, the airline, End Avelo's illegal deportations, due process for all. It's Sundays in May. It'll be May 4th, May 11th, May 18th, May 25th, 4 to 6 p.m., Burbank Airport, 2627 North Hollywood Way, Burbank. But May 4th, this is, you know, Pluto stationing, which is, all right, change is coming. The full moon also augurs like big changes could happen. Big changes could happen. We call on all of our ancestors. We call on David Graeber and his brilliant book, The Dawn of Everything, which he wrote and left us with this dedication. Always remember that human community has had the capacity to transform in an instant from authoritarian to egalitarian. We go, yes. Well, we're going to honor Hungary. I mean, honor everything going on in the world. We go, all right, so there's that. And that's Rachel Maddow has been doing a splendid job. I know some people are grumpy, but there's no need to be grumpy currently with her. She's been doing a great job. And it's like, don't leave now, Rachel. She's done first 100 days of incredibly diligent, powerful covering of all of the arising and the awakening going on in the world, but also in this country. Community arousing. We go, that's great. And so she was covering, you know, again, boomerang. Boomerang is boomerang. Anything up to no good, back at you with a pie in the face. And that goes to Avelo Airlines as well. Protests against Avelo Airlines, you know, because they're flying. They have a contract with ICE to deport, you know, kidnapped people in leg chains and wrist chains, and they couldn't get off if there was an emergency, whatever. And so one of the first ones was in protest, was in New Haven, Connecticut. And the Attorney General of Connecticut, pretty woofy, all right, everybody's stepping up to dree their weird, to play their role. And he said, Avelo Airlines, we subsidize you. We, the government of Connecticut, you know, give us your contract that you signed with ICE. And they basically goes, you can file a Freedom of Information Act if you want. And he's like, no, you're making money off of suffering. And due process is law. And so, yeah, in arising, I do want some better word than protest. We'll figure it out, because protest means protestees to grab your balls. But, you know, a gathering, a protection gathering in Santa Rosa, thanks to Indivisible in Sonoma County, in Rochester, New York, in Burbank, right, coming up May 4th. Just showing up, no deportations, huge public response, aroused. And so we say, we put on our altar of desirable incarnational actuality, we make evil too expensive, right? And you know, so much cruelty that we want to acknowledge and not turn our eyes away from, but then invite in everything practical and everything metaphysical as well. So part of our opportunity to International Labor Day and Beltane. So revels. I was luckier than I knew as a kid, that Jack Langstaff ran the music program at our grade school. And some people later referred to him as the arch druid of McLean, Virginia, but he smuggled in, nothing to worry about here. He smuggled in animism, paganism, deliberate celebration of change of season, really profound. So he would do the revels. And I want to just honor him as a great ancestor. I think I'm maybe in fifth grade, and some boys in the back are making rude, I don't even remember what it was, rude comments about a girl, something. And Jack Langstaff, just with this incredible force, you know, from the front of the room, went back, didn't lay a hand on the lads, but said, don't you ever disrespect a girl or a woman. Don't you ever. And they're like, yes, sir. I'd never seen a man do that. And so I just want to honor Jack Langstaff. And we became buddies. You know, he handed the baton, doing a lot of, you know, music from around the world, you know, wedded to poetry. And he's like, you're doing it. And I felt honored that he came. I, who had received so much from him, you know, came to some of my gigs, and it's like really great. So one of the traditional May Day songs is from Padstow. And we've got a slightly spiffied up version from Steel Eye Span. But it's good. And it's segueing also from Robert Reich saying solidarity, solidarity, because the celebrations of Beltane, of May Day today, are all about, you'll hear it, unite, unite. And as you listen to this rousing, spiffied up version, remember that in the Cornish village of Padstow, this was done with hobby horses and pageantry and dancing and drumming all day to drive away anything inimical to life. So here we go, number three, Steel Eye Span, Padstow. Yay. All right. So remember, it is Beltane. It is Beltane. It's almost true Beltane, which will be May 5th. Before that, May 4th is Pluto stationing, and the showing up to say to Avelo Airlines in Burbank that no, you can't do that. But so Pluto, death, rebirth of the world, stationing. And it's always, Pluto says it is volatile and dangerous in direct proportion to the force of its exclusion. We go, all right. So it is a volatile time. And I like the Tibetan attitude. They say the demons are on the other side of a door, it's heavily locked and whatever. And they imagine a laser beam coming out of their third eye, lasering the lock off of the door. Come on out, you demons. Come on out, you demons. No one's as ugly as the Amantaka, Lord of Death. Come on out. And they come out, and they dance, right? So again, the welcoming of what's been excluded, but also the propitiation. I had and how we deal with the dead. The I Ching the other day said to me, now is a time, and see if it resonates, now is a time when the recently dead are ritually encouraged to become guiding ancestors. I go, oh, I have some recently dead allies and family and everything. And it says this requires sacrifices to the dark, the positive dark. Dark Moon Lilith, Nemesis, the goddess who is the goddess who brings down unjust empire and unfair fortune. We go, yes, bring her back. Yeah, absolutely. So this propitiation. And for all of us, in some way, to honor the desirable dark forces, and certainly with Pluto, we're stuck with the Greek and Roman names. But let's say that all mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. So, what metabolizes poison? Part of Pluto's thing. And remember, in nature, the antidote is always next to the poison, the remedy. The toxin and the tonic are neighbors. So, so there we bring in the wrathful Dakinis that you might have heard of. And if you haven't heard of them, they've heard of you. So the wrathful Dakinis, they have a journey too, right? Everything, everything time has tried to tame the wild. So originally, the wrathful Dakinis were, in women's retreat huts. And we remember that most of the feminine endings on the names of all of the great tantric Tibetan teachers had been erased, which is what inspired Miranda Shaw to write her brilliant book, Passionate Enlightenment, about the wrathful Dakinis. So the women in retreat would conjure, these powerful women images comprised of human and animal, human, crow, and coyote. We see this everywhere in the world. It's a good thing to do right now. What qualities do we want to borrow from our kin? And then Tibetan Buddhism inhales them and makes them pretty and ornamental, but they're not pretty. They're beautiful in a kind of, whoa, kind of way. And it's said that the wrathful Dakinis dance and laugh as they feast on the painful negativity that the unenlightened would be like, oh, there's a problem. They metabolize, and this is really important to us, they metabolize the poison of anger into the tonic of wrath. Ugh. Fierce protection of all life. Aren't we all outraged? Aren't we all protectors? And that's very much humming in the chart right now. We'll play. They metabolize the poison of seduction, right? Control, power, into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. And we go, all right, so wrathful Dakinis, invite them into play. So powerful site of, huge cultural transformation. And I like, things are stirring, things are stirring. Again, Rachel Maddow did, had Alex Wagner on to file her reports from Hungary, with Viktor Orban for 15 years, but people in the streets and lively and outspoken and speaking to us, America, you watch out. We're with you though. We're with you. And it was really interesting because when Alex Wagner was the replacement for Rachel Maddow on Tuesday through Friday, she was, I did not like her. She was sort of a little cutesy and a little bit kind of Rachel wannabe, but she got demoted, right, and hurled out into the world to cover things like hungry, and she looks and feels completely different in a liberated way. So it's like, oh, that can do that. You know, when there was a flood in Pavlov's laboratory, right, none of the surviving dogs retained the least of their conditioning, right? So can a great tide of human affairs have less effect on humans than a flood on dogs? And we go, deconditioning time, deconditioning time. But the reports from Hungary that Alex Wagner, who is now liberated into being herself, you know, filed are rousing. We're all in this together. You know, and so many people, the naval officer who was going to give a speech at the Naval Academy, they were like, oh, no, at the last minute, canceled that. And it's like, he said, the obstacle is the path. And so he said, well, here I am in my studio. I'm just going to give the speech, right? It's not as I wanted it to, you know, live to the team, but it's a much larger audience. So here we go. So let all impediments be, you know, the path. And if we waft with them, if we dance with everything, this is a time of dancing and thumping the earth and connecting, right? If we dance with everything, it will be our ally. And all micro moments in nature, my great friend Heather Rowan Robbins, wonderful astrological colleague for a million years, when I first visited her in Santa Fe, and I didn't want to go to Santa Fe for a while, the same reason I didn't want to go to Hawaii for a while. Like, I didn't want to be an intrusive tourist person. But Heather lived with her fabulous cross-dressing Native American cowboy ally, you know, in the barrio. So we were in good shape. And she took me to a special spot above Santa Fe. And there was a tree there. And she said, oh, you know, a tree that's been struck by lightning and continues to survive is a magic medicine. And we go, yes, that's really great. So she said she'd been sitting by this tree a year earlier, and there was this horsefly that it was so annoying. It was so annoying. So finally she just got up going, all right. She got up and moved away. Lightning struck that tree like 20 seconds later. She was like, oh, foo. Oh, whoo. You know, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. It's like, all right, horse, all right, I'll move. Oh, thank you. Thank you. What I thought was annoying, you saved my life, right? And we go, oh, many things, many things. So, yes, there's that. So, you know, just the terrifying. So let us become terraists, aspiring agents of liberating trickster. And I love one of my teammates, Evangeline from Minnesota, on our Monday trickster thing, talking about opportunity, because I was mentioning, as Heather Cox Richardson had done, going, Doge has been given authority over our national parks, over our land. They want to clear cut them. They want to drill dangerously, already, you know, drilling dangerously in the Gulf, you know, in a completely bad idea anyway, but ill-educated, not paying attention to the pressures, the different pressure points to allow multiple drills on one particular. Okay. So we need help. We need all of nature's help. We need all of trickster help to come with us. So I've been saying, you know, and Heather Cox Richardson said, we can recreate some of the systems, you know, it's terrible damage, but if the public lands and the forests and flora fauna and the critters, that'll be hard to bring back. So Evangeline said, the opportunity is proffered to us to redream the world. This is very what's brewing for us. Saturn-Neptune conjunction in Aries, we'll track it. The dedication to the power of visualization. And in Aries, all these planets are moving from Pisces, which is our exile, maybe even from ourselves in a way. Pisces, where it's radical, is what have we forgotten that we must remember? And what has been imprisoned, exiled, or undervalued, but is of great value. That's where the action is. It's all about embrace. And so we still have Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, and the north node of the moon, and Saturn at the degree of, you know, queen and king of the fairies. Come on in. In Pisces, Venus has just entered Aries. We'll come back to her. But the Saturn-Neptune conjunction, which is within orb right now, so it's like all of our metaphysical training, yes, let's see the desirable. So Evangeline, you know, emerging from the, all of us emerging from the ashes, said to dream anew. And she said, let's see the cowboy-Indian alliance that was so important to Dapple, you know, to protect the forest. Let's all of us protect the land. Right. Governor Pritzker, for, you know, from Chicago, is, I don't usually say this, but this is important. I want everybody aroused, everybody in the streets, everybody protecting. This is the time. It is. Right. And what was also important at Standing Rock was it was run by women, wonderful Native women. So when the Army veterans, mostly guys, showed up, and when the cowboys showed up, she goes, welcome, but here's what we're doing. We're not doing violence. We're doing dedication, and you can be part of that if you want, but that's our guidelines. So I thought that, I think that's a good thing to see. Let us see, you know, all of us, like at the end of Thunderheart, you know, where the ancestors show up with the actual humans to protect, you know, from the evil FBI. So let's see this. And, you know, there is a lot of, you know, annoying, well, there's a maybe some hoo-ha, you know, out going, I have spoken with the Galactic Council and the five agents of whatever the thing is, you know. And I go, your metaphors are awfully authoritarian, you know. And what's especially egregious about this language that's making its way on the net is it feels very much written by AI, very much written by AI, which is it's like almost good, but not. So the egregious part is it's saying, you know, kind of what we're saying, or kind of what I'm saying, which is, yes, let's redream the world. But in this very, you know, the Galactic Council, I'm like, Galactic Council, my ass, you know, we want egalitarian. We want equal. We want community rising. We want mutual aid. We want to turn to all of our anarchist guys, nature, in fact. And I love turning to wolves and coyotes always, right? So wolves and coyotes are mating. And I've talked a lot about them because I lived with them. So wolves, playful, play every 20 minutes, even when they're hunted, even when they're hunting, but very disciplined. Although the lead wolf is the wolf that engages the playful ingenuity of the pack. And it's like, I vote for that as a good leadership model. That's really good. But wolves, very disciplined. Everybody's got a job. Coyotes, no, mad, crazy, interesting, genius beings. So the fact that they're mating as an evolutionary necessity is proffered to us. Wouldn't it be great to belong to and participate in a wolf pack, a supportive wolf pack that encourages everybody's mad, unique coyote genius? And we go, yes, it would. It would. So dream the world into being. And we turn now to just always useful for perspective, Bob Marley, number four, Zion Train. Thank you. Always good, Bob Marley. Always good, Bob Marley. So yes, don't gain the world and lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. We go right. We bring that in. And again, addressing and a shout out to ally on Blue Sky, Ruben Garcia, who provided the alert about the Burbank Airport and Avela, and protesting Avela Airlines. Definitely, definitely, you know, and reminds us again today, everybody out, you know, 50501, you know, hands off, indivisible, hands off U.S. democracy, viva Ukraine, viva Gaza, due process, returning all kidnapped beings. And so there's a classy piece, a short piece of theater from A Man for All Seasons, but it's really about due process. So we're going to play this short clip, number five.
Arrest him.
For what?
He's dangerous.
For libel. He's a spy.
Father, that man's bad.
There's no law against that.
There is God's law.
Then God can arrest him.
While you talk, he's gone.
And go he should if he were the devil himself until he broke the law.
So, now you'd give the devil benefit of law.
Yes, what would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil?
Yes. I'd cut down every law in England to do that.
Oh? And when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, Roper, the laws all being flat? This country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's. And if you cut them down, and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes. I'd give the devil benefit of law for my own safety's sake.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Due process for everybody, for our own safety's sake. Where would you hide, Roper? And you're just the man to do it. You could fill in any name that's useful there. Where would you hide when the laws all being mowed down like the trees, you know, flat in the howling winds that would ensue? That's a classy piece. Thank you for the man for all seasons. So, yes. So here we are again, our Beltane May Day, everybody out in the streets, you know, gather our council. And, you know, there's, you know, metabolized conniption fits, you know, but notice them. You know, somebody said that Trump's, you know, 100-day celebration rally, you know, would make the trials, Hitler's Nuremberg rallies blush, right, or look sensitive, would make the Nuremberg rallies look sensitive. Yeah, because Trump was playing propaganda videos of kidnapped people getting their heads shaved. It's like, oh. But again, we metabolize, if we can metabolize conniption fits, you know, into useful fuel. We have a near renewable energy resource. So let's honor Jack Langstaff with his rousing Lord of the Dance to inhale our pluckiness, as Wendell Berry says, be jaunty, even though fully informed, be allied with trickster, be able to unlock things, honor the coming full moon with the sun in Uranus opposite the moon. Big changes are possible. So we now play Lord of the Dance, followed by a brief clip. Okay, so here's number five. Oh, number six. Yep.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing. For the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on.
Bluff. Okay, team. Dedicate to being our best, loving, liberated, liberating selves. There we go.
Tim Wise.
So you can't have multicultural democracy and white hegemony. You're going to have to choose. I mean, this country is going to literally have to choose. And by the way, this also is why these issues surrounding great replacement tie in with the assault on women's reproductive autonomy, right? The idea that white folks want more white babies and white families, what's a great way to try to accomplish that, right? Restrict the bodily autonomy of women, in particular white women, so that they have to, you know, bear the children that they find themselves with when they become pregnant. So there's a connection, right, between the assault on women's reproductive autonomy and the great replacement theory and the anti-immigrant sentiment and this desire to maintain the country as a white nation.
Storytelling for social change on KPFA.
This May Day, KPFA is on the ground, bringing you the sounds of struggle and solidarity. Join Flashpoint's hosts, Miguel Gavilan Molina and Dennis Bernstein, live from San Francisco Civic Center at the May Day March and Rally for Immigrant and Workers' Rights. Hear from organizers, activists, and workers demanding justice. Tune in Thursday, May 1st from 3 to 6 p.m., only on KPFA 94.1 FM and kpfa.org. Because KPFA doesn't just report on the movement, we're part of it.
This is 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online everywhere at kpfa.org.